Very familiar scripture, going to look at it a little bit differently today. As they were singing that song, I thought about it. Come, Jesus, come. If that thought scares you, you need to check up today. I'm not talking about not being ready to go, but if Jesus coming today scares you, then before you get out of this church, you need to get on this altar.
Amen.
Amen. Psalms 40, let's look at verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for another day. Thank you for the songs, God. Thank you for each one that's gathered here this morning. And God, I pray right now, Lord, most of all, God, that the Holy Spirit move through this building. God, you speak to hearts as only you can. And Lord, I ask your hand to be upon those that might be here, Lord, and they're not saved. Lord, they can't say, come, Jesus, come, and say it with confidence. God, help them to realize that today's the day of salvation. Lord, they don't have to leave this place the same. Lord, if there's a Christian here today, and they're not where they need to be, God, help them to get on this altar, God. And God, we put it all in your hands right now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let's look at the reality of the pit this morning. That is our sinful condition. The reality of the pit is that it was a horrible pit. It was separation. It was helplessness. It was hopelessness. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means everybody. Romans 6, 23, for the wages of sin is death. Now, you got to understand that this is a real pit. And before you got saved, you were in this pit. Before God come down and rescued you, you were in this pit. You weren't just struggling. You were stuck. You got to understand it. In real life, and I thought about this as I was studying, in real life, mire or quicksand, it creates a suction. And the more you struggle, the deeper you get. And that's how it is when we're living in sin. You know, I've known people that they turn over new leaves and they tried everything they could to get out of it. But let me tell you something. You can't get out of it. The more you struggle, the more you fight, the harder it clings on to you, and the more it sucks to you. And the devil's not going to let you out of this without a fight. That's his pit. That's where he's got you. And the devil's going to do his very best to keep you sucked down in that miry pit of sin. Somebody that's stuck in mud, you can't get out by trying harder. You only get out by help from above.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You think about what I'm saying. This is a horrible pit. And the helplessness of the pit. We cannot save ourselves. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 89, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Understand something. When you are in mud and you're in quicksand or a mire, the body weight is what pushes you down, and you got to understand it. And your own weight works against you. I won't ever forget, Brother Robert, I'm going to kind of explain something to y'all. Down home, when we would, they would plant tobacco. There's something that anybody that grew up on a farm, there's something called a subsoiler. You hook it behind a tractor. It's got to be a pretty good sized tractor. You hook it behind a tractor, and it'll go down in the soil about that deep, maybe probably about a foot and a half, 2 foot. And what it does, it busts up all that hard dirt so that tobacco roots can go down and get to the water. I remember one time we had a flood hit, Brother Jackie. And we was walking through the field, and I actually stepped in that place where that subsoiler, Wes, had went. I went down to my waist. I couldn't get out.
Amen.
Had it not been for my brothers, I would have not made it out of that. And that's what sin is. That's how sin sucks us down. Your own weight. The Bible talks about the weight that we have. And you got to understand something. That sin that you have in your life is a weight that's weighting you down. And that the further down you go, the harder you try. You cannot get out by yourself. When you fight, it only increases the suction force that's around you. Amen. Satan has got you. Effort without rescue is helplessness.
Amen.
Now let's look at the cry from the pit. Verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. Help begins when we call out on God.
Amen.
Amen. Help begins when we call out on God. Romans chapter 10, verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You got to understand something. If you don't call out, I've studied this and thought about this. Rescue situations all depend on somebody crying out. I read something, Frank LaFerra heard somebody screaming for help in Ocean City, New Jersey. He jumped in into a riptide and swam hundreds of feet just to save a woman that was drowning. And he would not have known it, Brother David, unless she called out for help. In California, a mother and a 9-year-old son were rescued after 24 hours because they left handwritten notes under rocks until they were found by search teams. If you don't call out for help, nobody knows you're in trouble. If you don't call out for help, nobody can come help you. We come to church and we know we're in trouble. We come to church and we sit on pews and we come to church day after day, Sunday after Sunday, and we know we need help and we never say anything. We never call out on God and we leave the same way we were when we got there. One old preacher said that's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. When we come into God's house, we've got to call out on the Lord. He's the one that can rescue. You remember what I said a while ago? Rescue can only come from above. I'm not talking about a rescue squad, and I'm not talking about an airplane. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, amen? He's the only one that can pull you out of this pit that you're in. No cry, no rescue. The Bible tells us about the disciples, Brother Robert. They were in a storm. The Bible says that Jesus come walking to them on the water and would have passed them by had they not called out. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you so much he died for you. He gave his life for you. He gave up everything in heaven and came down and walked this earth just so you could have salvation. But you got to understand something. He's not going to force himself on you. He ain't going to come up to you and say, hey, you want me to pull you out of the pit? No, what you got to do? Lord, help me.
Come on.
And you can be lifted from this pit. Let's look at this. Next point is this, the divine descent. Jesus came down. I thought about it as I was studying this. Brother Robert, God didn't stand up in heaven and shout, hey, you need to get out of that pit. God didn't just stand up in heaven and say, hey, you know you're in trouble. God came down to earth. He came down to where you were to pull you out of that pit by himself. Amen. The Bible tells us in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus came to the pit where you were. He knew you and came anyhow. He knew everything about you and came anyhow. He knew every little detail, every little sin that was holding you down and loved you enough and came anyhow.
Amen.
As I was studying this, I kind of thought about it. Y'all know when I first moved up here, I just got off the highway. It hadn't been long. You know, got off the highway patrol, and the pastor that was there was the chaplain of the fire department. He moved off, and they wanted me to be the chaplain of the fire department. I said, I'll be the chaplain of the fire department. That's fine. I said, but I'm going to tell you right now, I ain't going to no burning building. That ain't, nope. that I'll chase drunks, I'll get in shootouts, I'll do all that. I ain't got a problem, but I am not going in no burning building. You realize that firefighters can't save you unless they go in? Aren't you glad Jesus came down?
Amen.
I love going to the beach. I love swimming. But you know what? Them lifeguards can't save you. That lifeguard's not going to stand up on that beach, on that lifeguard podium and say, "Hey, you're drowning, get out of the water." That would be stupid. He's got to go in and get you. Aren't you glad that Jesus came in and got you? Glory to God. Jesus came down to where you were. You could not get out by yourself. You couldn't even help yourself. There was nothing you could do. And Jesus came down to rescue you himself.
Amen.
The lifting power. He brought me up. That's conversion. How many remember today when Jesus brought you up out of that miry pit? How many remember today when you got saved? How many remember today when God wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son? Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's conversion. The thief on the cross cried out, and Jesus saved him. Rescue requires an external force lifting you up out of the miry pit that you're in. That was Jesus Christ. That's conversion. That's the one that came down. Hey, I've heard all kind of people talk about this over the years, how they were down in that pit, down in that, and that so far down. I don't care how far down you think you are. I don't care how low you think you are. I got a God that can lift you up out of that mess. Amen. Let's just be honest. Everybody in here at one point in our life was lost and undone without God. Now, a lot of us were a whole lot further down the pit than some of the rest of us. We got people in this church, good, godly people, good people, but always been good people. Always been good people. I'm going to pick on Miss Angie. Miss Angie's sitting on the front row. I just can't see Miss Angie ever doing anything bad. I'm not asking Brother Robert. But she's a sweet lady. I'm just telling you that. She's a sweet lady. I look at Nicole, and Nicole's always been a sweet lady. But they was just as lost. They were just as lost as the biggest drunks. They were just as lost as the biggest drug addicts. They needed, hey, Jesus, my God, had to reach way down in that pit like he did for you. But God, they were still in a pit and they still had to be saved.
Amen.
God's, aren't you glad that God's grace is stronger than sin's grip? Aren't you glad that God's grace, for every one of y'all that was at camp meeting this year, this past week, when I say grace, what you supposed to say?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad that God's grace,
amen,
was a whole lot stronger than Satan's grip it had on you?
Amen.
Satan thought he had you. Oh, Satan had you down. I got you in this pit. You ain't getting out. But then you called out on Jesus.
Amen.
And glory to God. He showed up. I'm just going to tell you, you could have called out on me. I could have showed up, and nothing I could have done. Nothing. Because I can't save you. Mama can't save you. Granddaddy can't save you. Grandma can't save you. Hey, but I'm telling you right now, there's only one, and his name is Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
The greatest life. I saw somebody had a shirt one time that said, "My lifeguard walks on water." Amen. The greatest lifeguard. Hey, he didn't worry. He pulled you out. Set you on a solid rock. Now let me ask you a question. How many remember before you got saved? No stability. Thank God Jesus pulled you out of that.
Yes, sir.
Put you on a solid rock. I'm going to go ahead and tell you something. David said this morning in Sunday school, and I thought about this a lot. And I remember the first time I ever heard this was way back in the 80s when Preacher Earl Hanna talked about this. He said he was talking to a man and said this. He told this guy, the guy said, well, I just don't believe none of that Christian stuff. The guy said, he told the man, said, listen, he said, if I live my life the way I'm living my life, believing in God, going to church, paying my tithes, and I have perfect peace, and I have a great relationship with my family. I have a great relationship with my church family. He said, if I die and all this is for nothing, he said, what have I lost? He said, you ain't lost nothing. He said, but now if you die, what have you lost? He said, everything. Let me tell you something, folks. There ain't enough devils in hell today to make me not believe in that Bible. I'm just telling you, he's proved himself over and over and over and over and over again. I'm telling you right now, this thing is real. I know I was in the pit. I'm one that's been pulled out of the pit. I'm one that he took and put his feet on solid rock. I'm one that I can say, hey, I've prayed and God showed up. I've seen God move. I've seen God answer prayers. I've seen God take drunks and put them in churches and straighten them out. I've seen God reach way down, pull out logs and move over logs and pull drug addicts out of this pit and straighten them out. It is real today and it is true today, and you better understand something. Hey, you're either going to trust in him or you're going to stay in that pit. And if you stay in that pit, that means hell is going to be your home. Jesus is our rescue. Jesus is our rescue. Brother Robert, I want you to come back and sing, Please Forgive Me. I want you to bow your heads with me.